As Dave mentioned during the worship time, we are in a series that we've called A Time for Courage. It doesn't take very long to look around and realize that we're in a mess. And we're in a mess as a community. We're in a mess as a nation. We're in a mess as a world. And I believe it's in those times that God specifically calls to every believer to a point of courage unlike any before. I think of Joshua, and that's kind of the heart of this series that we're going to be doing is we'll be through the book of Joshua. Last week we kind of laid some introductory groundwork of looking at how Moses influenced Joshua's life. But regardless of how much influence we have, there comes a point in our life that it's up to us to whether we put it into practice, whether we do what we've been trained to do, or if we step back and shrink back. And the book of Joshua shows us very clearly that Joshua was one who stepped up. He lived with courage. He recognized that it was a time for courage. And I think as we look at our world, we're in a point where God needs and wants courageous children to represent Him well. And so this morning, we're going to look at least part of Joshua chapter 1 with a message I've entitled, The Courage to Lead. Now, if I was to ask the question, are you a leader? I'm guessing for many people, you might step back and say, well, I don't know. I don't think so. Or if I would ask, who are the leaders in the room? You might raise your hand as one of those, but you might point to somebody else and say, well, it's them. But the truth is, I believe that every Christian has been called by God to lead in some way. And for some, it may be leading many people. For others, it may be leading one person. But what does it look like to live and to find the courage to lead? I suspect we would all agree that leading is not easy. Leading has a lot of drawbacks to it. When you're known as a leader, regardless of how many people that you're leading, you are open to criticism like never before. Because, well, if you're leading, then it's your fault if we're not going in the direction I wanted to go. It's your fault if we're not going as quickly as I want to go. And so it becomes an issue. But I think one of the difficulties in having the courage to lead is we really need to step back and define what it looks like to lead God's way. Because sometimes we struggle with that idea of leading because we define it according to the world and we kind of define it as, well, the leader's the boss. And we're going to get to this as the final point of the message, but I want to kind of lead into that because that's where we normally start. We think the leader's the one that gives direction. And oftentimes when we become a leader, when we seek to be a leader, that's what we want. We want to be the one that says, this is what we're doing. And unfortunately, that's simply a part of leading. It's not the whole thing. And when we act like it's the whole thing, then all of a sudden, life gets messed up. And I think that's why Joshua was called not only by God, but called into purpose. Moses had kind of laid the groundwork. We looked at that last week. Moses had instructed Joshua. Moses had called Joshua to be strong and courageous. And then in Joshua chapter 1, God comes along and says, okay, you've heard it from Moses. Now it's my turn. And in Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 6, God speaks to Joshua. He says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. It's then that you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. It's often been said that one of the best ways to know if you're a leader or not is to look around you and see if anyone is following. And sometimes we want to think we're a leader, but when we look, there's no one behind us. There's no one with us, where we're just off on our own. But whether those following you are many or few, I believe God has called us all to learn and to find how to be one who courageously leads others. And I think to begin that, we find the courage to lead when we find the courage to listen. Until we're willing to be courageous enough to listen to people, I'm not sure we have any business trying to be a leader. But there's something more important than that. Because sometimes we listen to people and we kind of get tossed about to and fro because you line up five people and ask them their opinion about something and you're typically going to get five answers or sometimes six. And so if that's all we're doing is listening to people, we're going to be confused as a leader. That's what happened with Israel. 40 years prior to this, 12 men went and scoped out the land that God says belongs to you. And they came back and they gave a report. And 10 says, it's a good land, but it's impossible. 2 said, it's a good land, it's going to be tough, but God can do it. And the nation listened to the people. The majority rule. They, in essence, took a vote, and, well, 10 against 2 in a democracy means we do what they say. And that's the problem of listening to people more than we listen to God. You see, we learn to lead with courage. We learn to find the courage to lead when we find the courage to listen to God. That's where it began in this verse. God opens in verse 6 and says to Joshua, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers. Be strong and courageous. Be very careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. And Joshua had a choice. Do I learn to listen to God or do I do things my own way? James, we're going to kind of look at a parallel in my mind in the book of James that follows this outline as well as Joshua does. James 1:19 says, my dear brethren, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We live in a time where we're not very quick to listen, but we are very quick to speak. And it may not be spoken words, but it's our social media presence that we're very quick to respond to things that we disagree with, things that we do agree with, things that upset us, things that make us happy. And in doing so, we cut off the communication of listening. I think of the ruling from Friday from the Supreme Court. And if Your social media feed is like mine. I have a mixed group of friends that some view that as a great thing, others view that as a terrible thing. And the easy thing for most of us to do would be to respond the way we believe, because we're right. And that's kind of our mindset, no matter what we believe. But so much of what I've seen over the last few days has been responding in a manner that cuts off all communication and cuts off the ability to let people know that we love them and that God loves them. And when we find the courage to listen, we find the courage to understand the hurt and the pain and the struggle that people are going through. And it's in that time that we not only listen to the hurt and the pain and the struggle that people are going through, we listen to what God would have us to do about it. God is not some separate entity that is uninvolved in life. He wants to be involved in not only our life, but in the lives of the people around us through us. And it takes courage to listen. But more importantly, it takes courage to listen to God. John 10, verses 27 and 28 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." As you think about those that may be following you, they may be people that you know. They may be family members. They may be your children or grandchildren. They may just be people within your neighborhood that see and watch and know how you live, and they're looking. Some are looking for an inconsistency to point out and say, "See, I knew it was fake." But many are looking for something of substance that they can point to and say, "I need that." And are we willing to listen to the cries of the hurting, to the cries of the brokenhearted? And are we willing to listen to God when He says, "Step up and do something about it"? So many times we sense that need to do something and we're just not quite sure what. And what comes to mind many times, at least in my life, is so small, I think, well, that won't make a difference. So why bother? And I believe God is true when He says, if you're not faithful with the little things, you will not be given more. Kind of a turnaround on the way He actually worded it, but that's what He was getting at. And when we learn to listen to the people, we learn to listen to God, and even if it seems small to us, we respond because God has prompted us to help and to listen and to share, to give, to love. We learn to find the courage to lead when we find the courage to listen, but we also must find the courage to examine. Not everything we hear is going to be accurate. Not everything we hear is going to be right or good. And that's sometimes where it gets tough in life, is sorting through all of the sound, all of the noise, all of the cries, to examine what really is right. Verse 8 in Joshua 1 we read earlier says, "Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. It's then that you will be prosperous and successful." It's that time, it's that day and night, it's that constant time with God's Word that helps us to examine what we're hearing. It helps us to know. Looked earlier, Jesus says His sheep will know His voice. Well, how do we know it? Because we're familiar with it. Because we've listened to it. Because we've spent time in His Word. There are things that I'm guessing if someone would come to you and say that your best friend said this about you, you'd say, that's not right. That doesn't sound like them at all. They would never say something like that. Well, how do you know that? Because you've spent time with them. You know their character. You know who they are. And when we spend that much time with Jesus and spending time in His Word with His Spirit within us, we know when something isn't right. Our enemy tries to confuse us. It tries to manipulate God's Word and twist it into things that it really doesn't say. And when we spend time meditating on His Word day and night, we realize automatically that just isn't right. Over in that, what I consider that parallel in James 1:20 says, "For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." We must examine our emotions, our motives, why we're doing things. We find the courage to lead when we find the courage to examine the very heart of who we are. Am I doing this out of anger? Am I doing this out of greed? Am I doing this out of revenge? What's the point? What's the purpose? It's those examinations that God wants us to do in our life, that His Spirit wants to do within us. To realize that God's desire is to purify our hearts, our minds, our motives. We must find the courage to examine. Much as the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, it says they were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness, but they also examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Anyone in my mind that is a preacher ought to be comfortable with the people listening, examining the Scriptures and checking them out. And it's not that we're perfect. There are times where we need those people that have examined the Scriptures and come and say, "You said this, but what about this?" And then we can sit down and say, "Well, yeah, this is really what God's Word says, and I stepped aside for a moment for whatever reason." That was the noble character of the Bereans. They were willing daily to examine the Scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was true, whether it was according to God's Word. We find the courage to lead when we find the courage to listen, but we also find the courage to lead when we find the courage to examine. We examine God's Word. We examine ourselves. So many times we think it's all about others. If I'm a leader, I'm examining everybody else. And, well, that might come at some point, but that's not the point. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to bring people into fellowship with Jesus Christ. And to do that, I need to know who I am in Christ. We also find the courage to lead when we find the courage to accept. Now again, it's one of those words in our culture that has kind of been misappropriated, in my mind at least. Because somehow we've come to believe and been taught, and it's often said that what that really means is that we need to agree with everything. And that acceptance means that I can do what I want and you can do what you want and we're all one big happy family. But that's not the acceptance that God gets at. You see, when we find the courage to lead, we find the courage to accept God's Word as authoritative. Verse 9 of Joshua 1 that we read earlier says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." The courage to lead requires that we accept God's presence as the one that's really doing the leading. That's why God could tell Joshua not to be afraid, not to be terrified, because he wasn't going alone. And sometimes that's a difficulty in our life is, well, if we're not doing it ourselves, then who is? And for some of us, it's a little tough to accept help. We like to think we can do anything until we can't. And then we like to just pretend that part doesn't exist. And God comes along and tells Joshua that the reason that you can be strong and courageous, the reason that you can live not terrified, is by accepting my help, because I will be with you. And I can do what you cannot do. James says, therefore, in James 1, verse 21, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. You see, finding the courage to accept isn't finding the courage to accept everything and anything that goes on. It's finding the courage to accept God's word, which has the power to save all who would believe, all who would respond. Leading isn't simply about getting followers, although that's a part of being a leader, is that there's someone that's learning from you. It's about doing what's right. And as Christians, we define that according to what God says. Romans chapter 15, verse 7 says, to accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. I think that verse gives the framework of how we find the courage to lead, how we find the courage to accept. We first step back. We've already talked about examining ourselves. We discover, how is it that I have been accepted by Christ? And I can't speak fully for any of you, but I can tell you how God works. You were accepted as you were when you chose to come to Jesus. And then he began to do a work to change you. It wasn't a delayed, okay, I'll accept you when you take care of this, and then you take care of that, and then there wasn't a progression that says, once you reach this stage, then, well, you can sit on the front porch. And once you go on to this stage, you can come into the living room. And once you do this much more, you can sit around the table and enjoy the banquet. That's not how God works. He accepted me just as I was, so that he could change me and make me just who he wants me to be. And when we find the courage to accept, we find the courage to accept people wherever they are, with the understanding that God has the power and the ability and the desire to change them to be exactly who he wants them to be. What does it look like to love people that we don't agree with? Look at Jesus. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a pretty strong disagreement, if you're going to evaluate strength of disagreements. We were sinners. We were living in opposition to Jesus. We were living in opposition to God's word. And he demonstrated his love towards us, and that he went to the cross. Are we willing to accept one another just as Christ accepted us? Finally, we get to the part that most people like about leading. Although once you figure out the other three parts we've already talked about, you'll realize that this is much more difficult than it sounds. We find the courage to lead when we find the courage to listen, to examine, to accept, but we also find the courage to lead when we find the courage to direct, to point people in the right direction. The passage we read out of Joshua, after God helps him to listen and to examine, to accept, he says, okay, now it's time to direct the people. And so Joshua gives them instructions in verse 11, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan and go in and take the possession of the land. You see, we listen, we examine, we accept. But we have to be able to give the direction of God's word so that someone knows how to follow. A familiar passage probably to many is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. As the Ethiopian is traveling along and God brings Philip alongside him, and this Ethiopian is reading the scroll of Isaiah. And Philip's question is, do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless someone explains it? It says, Philip got up into the chariot, and from that point where the Ethiopian was reading forward, he preached Jesus. He explained those scriptures. He provided direction. Here's where you're at. Here's where Jesus is. Let me fill in the blanks. Let me give the direction of the story. Sometimes we're hesitant, we're afraid to lead in that way. To tell people what it means to be a Christian, to tell people what it means to follow Jesus. To give them that direction that's necessary. Back in James chapter 1, to finish that passage out, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's some pretty blunt direction, I would say. But pretty accurate direction. When we find the courage to direct, we find the courage to point people to Jesus. To point people to God's word. To help them find Him. To acquaint them with who He is. We see, I think, the greatest instruction given to us by Jesus. It's not only Him directing us, but in essence, it's Him telling us how to direct others. We often refer to it as the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. When you find the courage to lead, you find the courage to direct people to obeying Jesus, to teach people all that God has commanded. And when we do that in a spirit of love, when we do that in a spirit of relationship, we help people grow from where they're at to where they need to be. None of us are where we ought to be fully. At least I'm guessing not. I could be all alone up here, I guess, but there's things I have to work on in my life every day. And there's thoughts and there's things that come into my mind, into my heart that God continually says, put that aside. That's already been crucified. Don't deal with that. Don't do that. And why God has given us one another is so that we can recognize we're in this together. That we can strengthen the weak. We can lift up the hurting. We can carry one another's burdens. Today, are you a leader? What will it take for you to find the courage to lead? Maybe you're just accustomed in life to doing things your way. It may not be a bad way, but it also may not be God's way, which in essence does make it a bad way. But the world wouldn't see it as bad. And God might be calling you today to have the courage to listen. Listen more intently to His Word, to His Spirit than ever before. The listening you do to people, to do so through the filter of God's Word, through the filter of love. Perhaps this morning it's more of examining. As you grow in the courage to lead, you need to grow in the courage of examining yourself, examining Scripture, becoming more familiar with God's Word every day, so that you can use it accurately, so that you can realize when something isn't quite what it should have been. As you seek to grow in the courage to lead, maybe it's that aspect of accepting. Maybe there's something that you know God's Word says and you just don't like it. I mean, I know that's a tough thing to say in church. But we all have those things, or at least have had those things in our life. Yeah, we know, but it's hard. I really don't want to. It's not convenient. It's not easy. It's God's Word. Do I accept it as the authority, or don't I? The courage to lead God's way says, I do accept it. And maybe it's in that direction. I may listen, I may examine, I may accept, but am I actively involved in directing people to Jesus? Am I fulfilling that great commission wherever I go? Do I tell people all that God has commanded? Do I instruct them? And that looks different. I'm not saying that every stranger you encounter in every situation, you pull out God's Word and you start preaching. It's sharing life. It's instructing one step at a time. Most of us can only handle so many instructions at any given time. And for some of us, that number kind of seems to decrease every year or so. But God understands that. And so if we unload a list of 20 things that we think people ought to do, even if they want to, on a good day, they might remember 10 of those. But if our direction is focused on, you need to pursue Jesus, you need to spend time in His Word, you need to be in relationship with people who are also pursuing Jesus, I believe when God's children begin to do that, when we begin to grow with the courage to lead, God has gifted Deer Run with some great leaders. Men who listen to God. Men who examine Scripture. Want to see it lived out within the body of Christ here. Men who accept one another, even with disagreements, even with differences, accept as Christ accepted. Men who direct people to Jesus. And while that's part of the responsibility of elders, It's really the responsibility of all of us to have the courage to lead. So that the people that you interact with that I don't can find Jesus. Today, as we pray, what will your decision be? If you're here outside of Christ, you've never been immersed into Christ, you've never surrendered fully to Him, that's where it begins. We're here to lead you to that point in life that says, yes, I want Jesus to be Lord and Savior. Many that gather on a Sunday morning have made that decision. And so today's question for you is, what does God want you to do? Who will you lead this week? Would you stand as we pray? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us, has called us to yourself, that has given us purpose and meaning in life. And part of that purpose and meaning is so that we could lead in whatever place that you've put us. And for some, it may be leading many people. For others, it may simply be leading one. But without that person leading, that one would never know. And so, Father, help us to find value in what you've called us to do and not compare it to what you've called others to do. May we listen. May we examine. May we accept. May we direct. May it all be focused on helping people know Jesus. And may our representation of Jesus be such that we would live with courage. And in times which are confusing, in times which are full of chaos, in times of uncertainty, may our relationship with Jesus help us to be those who find the courage to lead. And by doing so, may many come to Jesus. It's in His name that I pray. Amen.